In the light of this morning's message on the Holy Spirit, particularly on that the point of how God is developing in us a character, a Christian character, and we look particularly at the fruit of the Spirit and those nine elements that are to be exemplified in the Christian life. I made the comment that the church ought to be just a wonderful place to be. But in experience, that's not necessarily always so. And so this is really a bit of a balance to what I was sharing this morning a little bit, and looking at some of the challenges that was happening even in the early church. And I would direct your attention to the third book of John, 3 John. And as we would look in that, we will see that there is conflict that seems to become evident within the body of Christ. 3 John gives us a glimpse of the early church and reveals some challenges, particularly in the area of leadership. Now, having said that, I want to be clear that I am not giving you license or announcing an open season to criticize leadership. But neither am I saying that we are untouchable. Far too often we hear of those in church leadership that fall from their place of influence and ministry, and one wonders if there was a better strategy for accountability, if they would have been spared such embarrassment and humiliation, as well as the church protected from such disgrace. We all know challenges in leadership are not exclusive to the church. This is so evident just watching our daily newscast that there are problems when it comes to leadership. But this evening I want to strictly focus on the church as we would look at 3 John. It may come as a surprise to you that the early church had serious problems among the membership. And I expect God allowed these challenges for a reason. We may not always appreciate all the value of going through challenges and trials in life, yet we still ought to praise God for the testing that he allows to come into our life. I can honestly say some of the most significant growth and trusting opportunities have come to us through challenges and testings. And in this small book, we are introduced to three individuals. Three men are identified. There's Gaius, there's Diotrephus, and Demetrius. Thank you. And I'm going to stumble through all of those all night. I'm almost tempted to call them Tom and George, I knew somebody that did. When he came to scripture reading and he comes to those names, he would just give common everyday language names, but we'll try to stumble through this. It would seem each of these men had a position of influence in the church. And the first one I want to draw to your attention was one who had walked, whose walk was true. And that's 3 John 1 to 8. Actually, Gaius was a very popular name in the Roman Empire. There's different men mentioned by the name of Gaius. There's four different situations in Scripture where Gaius is mentioned, and it's not the same guy. One of them is mentioned is connected with Paul in Ephesus when there was this riot happening in Ephesus, and Paul had been preaching against idols. And people who were making a profit from those idols stirred up a riot, and they went looking for Paul, and they couldn't find Paul, but they found one of his friends, and one of his friends was named Gaius. There's another Gaius that is identified as from Derbe, and he is mentioned in Acts 20. And he traveled with Paul on his return visit from Macedonia to Asia. There's another Gaius mentioned in Corinth who hosted Paul and apparently was the host of one of the house churches in Corinth. And he is also mentioned in 1 Corinthians 1, where he was identified as one of the few people to whom Paul had baptized. And this Gaius in 3 John, who it seems apparent John had a very high opinion of him. In fact, he addresses him as beloved 4 times in this book. Would someone read for us verses 1 to 8 of 3 John, please? Thank you. And so we're looking at this guy, and he's identified as one who walks, whose walk is true. So right off the bat, we see that John is praying for Gaius that he might be physically well. We don't know if he was struggling with anything particularly in here, what the point was. But it is clear praying for one's health is a very acceptable prayer, is a very acceptable thing to do by the example of John here. But whatever his physical health was, John was most certainly confident of his spiritual health. And this speaks significantly of his walk with God. Not a great deal is known about Gaius, but it is expected that he was a leader in the local church where John was writing, possibly one whom John had taken under his wing, that he had taken under his care in mentoring him in his advancing years, like possibly the men that are also identified in verse 3, the brethren they are identified as. And they brought back the brethren, these potential missionaries, these people who were on the move, brought back a wonderful testimony of Gaius, of his hospitality and of his ministry. Even though they did not know him before they arrived there. And how, I'm sure if I threw it open for your response, many of you could share examples of how you have been so ministered to and cared for and built unique relationships with people in churches that you had never known before. But that the opportunity for ministry and fellowship just happened. I expect that I have used this illustration before, but when we were in Smithers in northern BC, there was a fellow who was very antagonistic against the scriptures, against God. His wife was a very, very tender-hearted, but a deep believer, and was constantly she was part of our fellowship in Smithers. And over the years there, I was able to get to know her husband, and opportunities came to be able to share Jesus Christ with him, indeed even to be able to witness him coming to the Lord in salvation. Shortly after he made that decision, and yielded his life to the Lord, they went on a year trip to Australia and New Zealand. And I was somewhat frustrated with the Lord that we had been, our heart's concern was for this man for years, long before we arrived at that church. And as soon as he comes to know Jesus as a Savior, he's gone. How are we going to mentor him? And yet, I don't know if there's any place on earth that is more friendly than Australia and New Zealand. And when he got back over that year, he was just an amazing individual. And he shared with me that they traveled all over the place. And every Sunday they went to a church. And he couldn't remember a time when they were not invited somewhere after church. And just the fellowship and the ministry of the Church of God had such an effect on him. And we would not and we could not have done that in Smithers. He had a reputation that went long before him, and people were very much afraid of him. And so it was just a wonderful provision of people just reaching out and ministering, and it had such an effect on his life. I'm disappointed when I hear people that go on vacation and they seem to take vacation from fellowship in the Church of God. Because there's so many rich blessings that can be enjoyed in going into new churches and seeing new ways of doing things and just enjoying that. And so let me get off of that hobby horse, but take it as an encouragement, if you would, please. This goes to communicate how we ought to respond, not just to strangers in our midst, but these individuals were kind of identified by John as brothers. They were there in support and encouragement, as well as preparing for, it almost would seem, missionary work. And interesting that John notes that they were not accepted or supported by everyone. But he also notes that they did not accept support from unbelievers, but commended the believers, the fellow believers, for their active involvement and support in them. It's interesting that John would make note of that, that they did not accept, for they had gone out for the sake of the name, Jesus' name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. I'm a firm believer that God's work should be supported by God's people. There seems to be some measure of evidence for that here. And as we follow the example of Gaius in extending hospitality and care and encouragement and support to these missionaries, we too are encouraged to walk in God's way. We are glorifying him as well as we are getting involved in the Great Commission by supporting missionaries to whom they are going out to serve the Lord. Paul writes in Romans 10, "For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call upon him. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved." And then this is what I wanted to draw your attention to. How will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. And so supporting missionaries as they go to the fields or go wherever the Lord is calling them is hugely important, because how will people hear unless someone goes to present that? Let us be generous to those who are willing to go. There was a familiar slogan during World War I: if you can't go, then give. If you can't fight in person, make your dollars fight. And as I came across that, I thought, doesn't that apply even more so to the cause of Christ? We can't all go, I understand that. But we can be a blessing and encouragement to those who are able to go. And so we see the Gaius as one whose walk is true. And then there is one whose walk is troublesome. Verses 9 and 10, the picture here rapidly changes from a bright message of the first 8 verses focusing on Gaius, to another individual, Diotrephus. We don't know what position this man held in the church, but it would seem that he had a one of influence. Would someone read for us verses 9 and 10, please? Thank you. It has been suggested that John wrote another letter to the church, but it was possibly interrupted and disposed by this man. And if it wasn't done, then if he didn't do that, then at least if he didn't destroy it, he most certainly discouraged it, as he was not interested in receiving its instruction nor acknowledging John's position of authority. But we do see here John anticipating a visit to the church at some date, and stated then that he would address this matter in person. Sufficient to say he spoke against John and stood in the way of the ministry of those who had come to gain their support and to share their ministry. And when the people would not listen or follow his counsel, he was intentional in trying to silence them, even removing them from the church. Personally, I see removing someone from the fellowship as grave action. Yes, I've been involved in doing that, and it was not done without a multitude of attempts for reconciliation and prayer, and indeed even tears. And what John had to say to this man is that he likes to be put himself first. This tells us that this was not a doctrinal issue, but a personal, prideful, power-hungry issue. Does this still happen today? Oh, yes, it does. Power and authority is one of those things that certain personalities just crave after and desire for and pursue. And yet it's very sinful. And it's a stumbling block. I read recently of an illustration of Dr. A.T. Robertson, who was one of the strong voices in the Southern Baptist denomination. And he wrote an article in their publication, their denominational publication, of Diotrephus. And the editor then followed up with a letter to Dr. Robertson stating this, that the 25 deacons stopped their subscription to the publication because they thought they were being personally attacked. And this is common. This happens. And it's sad, but it does happen in the name of the Lord. And so there is Gaius, who was one who walks, whose walk was true, and there's Diotrephus, whose work was troublesome. And then there is another who is introduced to us at the close of this book, one whose witness is trustworthy. And I would say the major issue, or the major message of this letter, is found in verse 11. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. As was mentioned, this letter was directed to Gaius. And John says, in the light of it, that it was written to warn him concerning situations and men who had possibly a voice in Gaius's life. As he reminds him and introduces another individual, Demetrius, perhaps John is concerned for Gaius that he might be influenced by wrong counsel. And he instructs him to follow the example of Demetrius. Would someone read for us verses 12 to the end of the chapter, or the end of the book, please? And again, except for the information that we find here in 3 John, we know little We know nothing about Demetrius outside of 3 John, but we know of him from this book, from his response. We know of him to be a very good man. He is identified as a great example. He had a good reputation from everyone who knew him. And he had a reputation of being affirmed by truth, affirmed by the word of God, as God's word bore witness in his life. And then John adds his own personal affirmation to him that he too was willing to support or affirm his character. What a high commendation, though we know so little about him. But don't you think that's going to be the way it is when it comes to the point of receiving reward from the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ? If we're looking for praise, the praise of man, if we're looking for prestige, if we're looking for attention, Scripture says that we have our reward. But God knows all. God sees all. God is keeping track of the things that we are doing for him, even to the point of giving a glass of cold water in his name. That will be acknowledged. John had other things that he wanted to communicate to Gaius, but he would wait until there was a time to meet face to face. There's great wisdom, I think, in John as he makes this statement, as that there are some things he just does not want to put into print, but things that need to be communicated, need to be addressed, need to be revealed. And John had every intention to do that as he went to visit them in this church. So what do we take away from this brief look at 3 John? From Gaius, labor for the Lord may not always be recognized by others as making some kind of major contribution. But in reality, we may have a great deal to do with the encouragement of those who have been called to be faithful and who have been called to be taking steps and taking opportunity in ministering in the name of the Lord. The ministry of helping others may very well be of great significance to them in fulfilling the ministry that God has called them to for the glory of God. From Diophratus, some people may hinder the progress of the work of the Lord by desiring to have and to hold a place of prominence, even to the sacrifice of getting the work done. As I have been reminded lately, we can't judge the heart, but we most certainly can be fruit inspectors. And this individual most certainly demonstrated fruit that was not in keeping with one who was following the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone needs to be functioning and serving with our giftedness and our abilities and our opportunities in the service of the Lord. And I know that the leadership of this church is very keen on encouraging you to be involved and be active in that way. And then from Demetrius, a life that is outstanding as far as a testimony before men are concerned is one in which should be an example to us to follow, even living out the truth of our Lord. That is the kind of life that we ought to be striving to live, not for the praise of men, but for the faithfulness of truth. And this is the life in which we are called to live, to accomplish the work that God has given opportunity to us. Let us be mindful of who it is that we follow, but also let us be mindful that we too may be followed. Are we living that kind of example that we would desire to see evident in others? Just a brief flyover of 3 John. But I think that there's interesting things in there as John identifies different characteristics that we really don't know apart from this in Scripture. And yet we can learn it, and their names are recorded for even for us 2,000 years later to be able to consider. Let me pray. Father, we bow before you with gratefulness for the opportunity that we have to serve you. Indeed, even who do we follow and who may we be mindful of people that may be looking to us and following our example. Lord God, we thank you that we can be an encouragement to those who go or are called by you to go into to unique ministry areas and yet are in need of support and care, of encouragement and comfort. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have of gathering together to evaluate and to look for opportunities as to who it is that we desire to be men of influence and authority over us. Lord God, we do thank you for your scriptures, for your word, for the opportunity we have to learn and to grow together. May we be pleasing in your sight. As we walk this path together, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.